Good morning. Rick's not here, so he asked me if I would do it. After the studies that we've had recently, especially out of Peter and whatnot, before we get started, let's open with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the chance to be here in your house. Lord, we always want to hear about your word, Lord, and we take it so that we can build our faith. We appreciate the ones that are here. And Lord, we hope that what we say will be these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know why, and I think it's because of the, if you want to say rhythm, or I'm not even smart enough to know the term. But not as a child, but somewhere along the line, the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, if Rick were up here, he'd probably call them the three amigos. Well, you know, they were originally, when they were captured with Daniel. Daniel's not in this particular section here. But early on, after they were captured, Nebuchadnezzar had them bring, because they appeared to be bright young men, and he was going to try to form them into something that he's in his court and stuff like that. So originally, they proved themselves in a way in that they weren't the only ones captured, but he was wanting to shape them, and he thought that the food that they would transform, and I don't know what kind of special diet that he had prescribed for them, but the person in his control that was feeding these captured people, Daniel, formed a kind of a alliance with this person and ask him to please let them just eat, I guess, like fruits and vegetables and stuff like that, and see that that wouldn't, after a time, it wouldn't show them to come out like they would want to be. And it worked out that way. And Nebuchadnezzar found favor with them and give them in charge of this, that, and the other. Well, I'm skipping through this because we have this thing that I wanted to bring about faith. We come down to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were, you know, doing their thing for the king and this, that, and the other. The king, you got to remember back in those days, the people that his people, they believed in the little gods, the little gods, not a true God. And I think these people were such that if it just come to their mind, they would say, okay, there's a God over here and a God over there and a God over there. And we think that's kind of foolish at times, I believe. So we don't know if it was out of him trying to make himself. We don't know what the idol looked like. But it was big, I mean, pretty good size. It was like 9 foot tall, I think it was, out of pure gold. And he passed this thing so that when the music started playing, everybody had to bow down. And the edict was, if you didn't bow down to this new golden idol god, little G-O-D, that you'd be thrown into the fiery furnace, which is this picture up here. Well, excuse me. They played the music, and all his little people, they didn't think nothing about bowing down. It was just another little G-O-D. But Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, believing in the one true God, capital G-O-D, refused to bow down. Oh, as much as the king liked these three, he went crazy. And as promised, it made him so mad because of the edict that he had put out about the fire that, John, go to that first slide after this. I want to not get through this and go ahead of it. I put this down as a story of uncompromising, courageous faith in the face of death. Do we know what uncompromising means? What do you do when you compromise something? And that leads to, so eventually, You're just like one of them, to the point. And it says there that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were three young men determined to worship the one true God only. In the face of death, they stood firm, unwilling to compromise their beliefs. They had no assurance they would survive the flames, but they stood firm anyway. Their story in the Bible speaks a strong word of encouragement, especially to young men and women of today. Not just young men and women, all of us. We all know that even as a Christian, we're not promised rose gardens, but we can have trials and tribulations, and hopefully these things build our faith. And there's other things that we'll talk about. And we'll get into this right after this next slide. But can you imagine, because the penalty for this thing, getting thrown into the fiery furnace was not something to play with. I've always said, man, I've had my finger in a candle, and guess what? I'm a quick learner. I don't do that no more. I don't like burns of any kind. And I can't imagine people that get burnt to death or otherwise, but this right here, you've got to really have the faith to have put yourself in a position that this is the next thing that's going to happen. And we today, and excuse me, I'm sitting up here with this discussion about the faith and all. I'm just like everybody else. I'm still trying to build on it. I'm still just like y'all. I need to hear this as much as me saying it about faith. That being a Christian, faith is important to each and every one of us because of us. But when we have the faith, you'll see in this, that faith becomes apparent to other people. And it might encourage them to also, instead of the little G-O-Ds, that you might want to be a child of the capital G-O-D, the one true God. And that, to me, is a very important thing. Have y'all had instances where faith helped you in situations? Anybody? You know what a good definition of faith is other than what's in Hebrews? Have you ever heard the thing where you're standing there and there's somebody behind you and they say, just fall back, I'll catch you. Now, if you fall backwards, what is that a demonstration of? Depends on who that person is, because it might be folly, but it is. It's supposed to be an indication of faith that you have, that they will catch you. Now, I'm demonstrating faith up here right now. What would that be? Simple. Very simple. Stool. Carol's stool. That when I sat on this thing, that it's still here. And I'm not down there in the floor trying to get up. So that in itself is a show of faith. This is mainly about spiritual faith, but we place faith in a lot of things. But what I want to get out of this today is our faith in God, spiritual faith, is what we need to really, really build on. Now, you can say you have faith in the weatherman, and that would be, they have a 50-50 chance of being right. John, go to that next slide, if you would. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were determined to worship the one true God only, and thus were reported to the king. Now, this is some of their probably buddies. When they didn't fall down and worship at the sound of the music, there were those probably jealous of the three. They couldn't hardly wait to get to the king to say, they didn't fall down and worship, you know, just like children would do. But it says, courageously they stood before him as the king pressured the men to deny their God. They said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. if this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand. Now, they're saying, and he will deliver us out of your hand, but right behind that, but if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. The very important thing out of this, a true show of faith, what would you say? They didn't know because of what it just says. But if not, that really shows their faith. They're saying he could. They did not know for a surety he would. Not everything in our lives gets pulled out of the way. It could be, but sometimes it's not. But out of this, we know, regardless of what, God still, Exactly. There's a lot of things that may happen in our lives. God may pull us out there almost like a miracle. But there's other things, and I'm talking about bad things, serious things, that he might let us endure. But the whole time we're enduring, he's there with us. And we have that faith that he'll get us through. So these three trusted in the one true God come up and they've denied the king. And they said, we're not falling down regardless of what you do. We're not worshiping false God. And I wonder sometimes, could I be that strong if faced with I'm not talking about something simple. I'm talking about something really, 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 really. This ain't like sitting in the corner. There's a finality to that right there. I mean, the fiery furnace was not meant just to burn your feet. John, would you put up that next slide? Right. Exactly. That's the reason I kept overemphasizing about the fact that he might not. And they were going to do, they were standing up not knowing he could, but they didn't really know he would. And it says here, and I've already went through this, and we're going to do it again. Furious with pride and rage, Nebuchadnezzar ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times. I don't know how you measure. Say you're building wood. How do you know that you're doing it 7 times hotter? But it was meant to be 7 times hotter. And because he was mad. He did not like this. And another thing, Carol, after what you just said that I want to bring up is the fact that their faith at that time was very hard because they knew of the outcome. What makes it so easy for the other people to have bowed down? Can you imagine why? Why was it easier for the other people to bow down to that golden idol? That and those people were so used to that God, that God, that God, that God. And now all of a sudden, King, here's another God. That was just part of their life. You name one, put it out there, here's another one. Somewhere way back there, I got this thing in that I've always held on to about the little G-O-D and the capital G. If you ever noticed, and I hope in our slides and stuff we see, and I'm pretty sure in the Bible, any reference to the one true God, if it's his, capital H-I-S, anything reference to God, be it a, and I'm not a grammatical correct person, but is it a pronoun or a, what's the word that you can, instead of saying God, like his, he, like that, they're capitalized when it's referenced to God. To me, that's just pure respect. There, when they say God with the little g, it's anything. If you think back, and I'm wondering, we know this thing was made by hand, and they were going to bow down and worship this thing, the people other than the three. So anyway, this fire was so hot, and we remember this story, come on. Said they bound them and threw them into the flames, and the fiery blast was so hot it killed the soldiers who had escorted them. So they were immediately dead, throwing them three into the fire. Here's the good part. But as King Nebuchadnezzar peered into the furnace, he marveled at what he saw. But I see four men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire. Now, we already said the ones that threw him in there had already died from the flames. Now he's looking and he sees four just walking around in there. That was the picture earlier. So the king starting to think about this thing. And he says, and they're not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the, he's saying, little G-O-Ds. But this is actually a reference to who? Possibly. We don't know. We don't know if it was actually Jesus or an angel, but it was a representative of God in some way, shape, or form, I can tell you. And so it says the king called the men to come out of the furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego emerged unharmed, with not even a hair on their head singed or the smell of smoke on their clothing. And their feet didn't get burnt neither. Now this is a miracle? Now, we've said it before. I don't want to reiterate right here using a big old word that I couldn't even define. They did not know this was going to happen ahead of time. These three had real, true faith because they had said earlier, even if he doesn't, we're still not compromising our faith of bowing down to this God of yours, little G-O-D. So this has always impressed me, this story. Now, this is not the only place. If you read in Hebrews where the definition of faith is, or spiritual definition, or biblical definition of faith, it mentions just story after story after story of biblical characters about their faith. And Sarah, having a child, used to be, remember, you may have heard me say this, when we were doing the study of Job, I used to think, I'd always heard the patience of Job. It had nothing to do with patience, faith. On this up here, in Hebrews, and this is the biblical definition. Y'all know this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Do you remember? And I think it confuses a lot of people, and they want to see bad out of it rather than good. When Abraham was fixing to come down with the knife, remember that? He didn't know. He had faith in God that God would do something. And he eventually supplied the little bullock or whatever it was they finally sacrificed. But I've read stuff recently that just bewilders me about people. I'm a person, believes that, you know, I'm real scientifically minded. But if you ever say anything or print it or whatever, and it goes against what my beliefs are biblically, guess what, folks? Somebody was trying to say that life here came in on a fragment off of an asteroid. Have y'all seen that? Just recently it popped up. I can't explain exactly other than what the Bible says, but I can tell you one thing. I've seen enough stuff in my life to know there is a God, one true God. I can't explain how he did it other than what it says. He spoke it into being, but I believe he did it. You can come up with every theory in the world. Excuse me. He did it. It didn't come in on a speck of dust. Somebody was wondering, well, where'd the water come from? Excuse me. He put it here. It wasn't because of some, unless he caused it that way, but he did it. Now, I'm not sitting here telling you my faith is 100% topped out. I'm there. No. I'm just like everybody else. I'm trying to build my faith. I can't remember what scripture it was where the, Audrey, you can help me with this, I hope. Tell me where I'm wrong. The person says, now I'm a believer. Help me with my unbelief. Wasn't up there, was it? No. I think I left that one. But I'm like everybody else. If you'd have seen me in the car the other day, it was like the cop that pulled over the person. And they was like, what'd I do? Well, they had hollered and tooted the horn at somebody, and I mean, just went crazy. But it had a fish symbol on the back of the car. And the cop figured the car was stolen because it surely couldn't be a Christian driving the car. Well, that could have been me. Because sometimes things happen that you get, well, at least me, get unchristlike. And that's still see. Let's go through this because sometimes I forget where I put stuff. It says here, through faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, is that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, about offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it being he, I'm having a hard time because it's faint, and I meant that because I wanted the bottom thing to be stuck out. But being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, I didn't know you could do that. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him, for behold, his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But now, here's the one I really, that just kind of stuck its finger out at me. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, let me ask you, have you ever asked anybody, are they going to heaven? Have you, any of y'all, have you ever asked anybody, are you going to heaven? What was the answer? You know what, Brother Bob, when we'd go to a restaurant, he'd always ask the waiter or waitress, when you die, do you know if you're going to heaven? You know what most of them said? I'm working. What's wrong with that? It's a gift of God. We must want to be saved. We must ask God. It's a free gift. We can do nothing on our own. And I'm a believer that you don't even come to that knowledge without the Holy Spirit tugging at you, that you know that you need it, what have you. So faith goes hand in hand with our getting closer and closer to God. Can you see the wind? But there is wind, right? Now here's one for me. Can you see electricity? How do you know there's such a thing? You don't need faith. I can give you a bobby pin and show you a socket over there, and I can make you a believer. The reason I say that, because as a child, I did that. I wrote a little thing about that. I wrote you talking about poetic license, I got carried away with this thing. And I was talking about seeing the stuff that the satellites nor the telescope up there had ever seen as a child. That wasn't true. But I'm a firm believer. You see, it's just almost like the wind. There's a lot of stuff like that. And what's a good answer for your belief in faith in God? What's a good answer? As a Christian, what's the standard? Because he lives in me. He resides in us. What has he done for me? And he does stuff for us a lot of us don't even give him credit for. Let me tell you, there's things that happen in our lives a lot of times that people call luck, chance, whatever. No. It was a gift from God. God looking out for us. I can't tell you things that have happened to just me that was just nothing more than a minor miracle. Minor miracle. Or maybe major. I had my hand caught in something one time, and I had a plastic, big old plastic glove, not a heavy plastic glove, and I was pulling against this thing that had a half-inch power drill, and that thing got caught and twisted my... I just knew when I pulled that glove off, there was going to be fingers still in the glove, because it felt like that. That was God being nice to somebody that didn't think. So, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now, I don't want to miss over this thing, because I'm a real firm believer in our faith, Bill and us as Christians. We spoke of maturity even in Peter back there, remember, when Rick was doing that? And faith does build somewhat our maturity. There's other things. But there's, what's that thing about faith, hope, and charity or something like that? Am I saying that right? Well, I know they eventually said charity was love. But the greater is, so later somewhere, and I didn't catch it in one of the slides, what it was telling us is the fact that one of our ways of showing our faith in God is our love for other people. That's a sign of maturity, spiritual maturity. John, let's go to the next one, because I'm not following myself down here. Growing in faith requires both time and effort. God ultimately causes the growth, yet he expects us to follow his ways and seek to grow. Becoming mature followers of Jesus who can help make disciples of others. That second Timothy over there, one of the things were, have you ever seen in a church, I hope you're not looking at me and thinking the same thing, is that you don't put an immature Christian in charge of teaching Christians. We're talking spiritually immature. And I think, I'm not saying it exact, but 2 Timothy to that point brings out that. Do you think God's will is that we grow in faith? He wants us to be spiritually mature. Now, there again, I don't know if there's an ultimate thing that we can say, and we should never be satisfied, I don't think, with where we are. But I think we should be such that we're looking to grow more each day in faith, in spiritual maturity. And John, flip to the next one. I think that's where. All right, what should we do to increase our faith? We can start by obeying what we do know about following God. Now, I'm going to sit here outright and tell you the truth. I'm a, ever how you want to complete it, I'm a born again Christian, saved by grace. Even sometimes I don't act that way. And I can tell you, there's things in the Bible I don't understand. I don't know everything in that Bible. But I tell you another thing. What I do know, I am well founded I'm not going to blow as the wind, like you see the marsh grass out there, and as the wind's blowing, that sway over here and sway over there. The one thing, if it's not what I believe to be true in the Bible, I turn it off. Excuse me. I don't bend with the wind. That's me as a person. And I'm telling you that you don't have to know and understand everything to be a good Christian. Ours is telling us here what we do know we can take and use to grow in faith and knowledge of God more. It's like when we were doing Job in here. I saw things in there. I've been in Job before. I've seen things, and things were brought out in there I never even comprehended. It was like I'd never seen it before. That's a good thing about the Bible. All right, it says we should also continue to grow in our knowledge of God, to grow in faith. We also increase our faith by how we serve God. What was that about faith without works? We don't get to heaven by works, but once we're Christian, God expects us to do good works. You ever heard that? That's what I thought, because it says so in His Word. Being surrounded by others who are also seeking to grow in faith. The old expression, my church is on the golf course. My church is in the mountains. My church is out there on the boat fishing. I've always, and it wasn't somebody just sat down and pounded it in my head, I've always had the feeling that I learn more, and it's like being recharged. Coming here and meeting with other Christians, because through things I see in you or may hear you say pumps me up. And it's just not from the pulpit. I'm talking about we as the people, that we learn from one another. We grow stronger by meeting with God's people. And I think that's what they mean here. We're all seeking to grow in faith, and coming here helps us to grow in faith. Support. Prayer is also a way to increase our faith, as it helps us maintain an active relationship with God. I read a book, and it was by somebody, I don't remember how old the guy is. I mean, this thing goes way back. Have you ever heard of a guy, E.M. Bounds? E.M., the initial, Bounds, wrote this thing about prayer. And he made a statement, and he's probably not, I'm paraphrasing, that one of the gifts of God that we use less than probably anything is the power of prayer. I'm not saying you don't pray, but I think what he was trying to say is we don't realize how important and how powerful prayer is in most cases. So it's certainly a good way. Because what is prayer in exactly? What is prayer? They're making fun of it. Well, not really making fun. You text somebody, they text you back. When you pray, who are you talking to? How much better can you get with something than a direct one-on-one with God? If that can't help us grow, I don't know. Because, and what that guy Bounds was saying is, we need to appreciate just how important in our lives that prayer is. And it certainly can increase our faith and love for God. And it says here, even a small increase in faith is significant and worth the effort in our walk with God. And I've read that. Even if it's just that much, it's still great, right? Any increase, you believe that? See, I think the reason God said that, or whoever said that from God, He knows we could. Remember the woman that just touched the robe? In her heart, she had the faith, knowing that if she could just do that, she'd be healed. She didn't have to speak it. She knew it. She did it in just what you said. Just we don't appreciate how much power there is in prayer. But I'm going to say this. You heard me maybe say it. You heard other people maybe say it. The one thing that kind of gets me sometimes, we pray for people to get better, and they don't. Did God answer that prayer? He did. He didn't say it by biblical means, but I had a boss one time ask him about so-and-so. He says, not right now. One other time. Okay, let's do it. Another time. No. And it was a reason. I think God's the same way. If you believe in God, you got to know He's all-knowing. He knows the best thing for everything. So just remember, okay, not right now. No. And there's a reason. We might not know, but no. We've cut to the end of the... That was the last slide, right? I couldn't believe. I looked up here. The time that they give me to sometimes do this, I don't ever plan anything. I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. I'm honest. I use these slides as a... Try to keep me on track, but I still weave and bob. And I hope we did learn something, because what Rick was bringing kind of got me pointed in that direction. And I've always liked the names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You mind dismissing us?